Right. Can everybody hear me at the back? Yes. No? No? There we go. That's better. Right, I have to confess, I grew up agnostic. Very much a doubting Thomas alike. I believe what I see. Have you seen God? No. Well then. One day I decided to have my daughter baptized. So I went to the local church, speak to the minister, and then he says to me, "Do you go to church on Sundays?" "Well, no." "So, why do you want to have your daughter baptized?" "Go away," clearly pointing to the door. Tough. So a friend of us say, "Well, look, I'm going to have a wee word with a minister that we know, and maybe he'll be more helpful." And sure indeed, Lawrence comes along at the house and says, "Well, why don't you come with us? See for yourself. Then you'll know, and you can have your daughter baptized." So yes, we've been to church. My daughter's been baptized, and I stayed. A few weeks again, and a few months, and years. Still agnostic, don't get me wrong, but I stayed in church. Very much interested in the guidance of the new covenant. Frankly, hard to follow sometimes. But then I knew who was wrong. An agnostic attending church every Sunday, unbelievable. Then I met Yvonne, Christian all her life. Her parents, Christians all their lives. Her grandma, a preacher. Her brother, a minister. How's that for me, an agnostic? Even more unbelievable. Furthermore, when they are visiting a few friends and families and decided on Sunday morning to pay a visit to the local church, not knowing exactly where it was, just asked my way. And then the man tells us, "Well, round the corner on the left hand side." And he says, "Well, stop, not so fast. Have this. It's free. It's for you to love. That's the new covenant. A stranger in the street gives this to me without any warning, and I've still got it. Me, an agnostic, being given this, unbelievable, totally unbelievable." We then came to New Haven. I've attended Alpha, and then I further attended Growth Group. Me, an agnostic, attending Growth Group. Strictly unbelievable. I've never asked for any of this. It just comes to me. And today, would you believe, I'm making a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. How come? Any agnostic would tell you that there has to be a rational explanation for so many unbelievables. And looking back, the only explanation I can come up with is that God guides me and plainly reveals itself to me in the same manner as when he became flesh. He performed miracles. Me, adopting Thomas alike, I see this and therefore I believe. whenever a stranger enters this room, no matter who he or she really is, does or has done, or looks like, no if, no buts, the stranger is accepted. Here, in this room, I see care, compassion, and love. Such love. Because we can have a faith that can move mountains, but without such love, we are nothing. But the love that you have for Jesus and that you have for one another is plain to see. Dear brothers and sisters, you enact the words of the Lord. And I see this, therefore I believe. When I meet you, anywhere, in the street or here, I see all righteousness because you portray God's own testimony of righteousness, each and every one of you. I see this, therefore I believe. Dear brothers and sisters, in your service to Jesus Christ, our Lord, it's obvious to see that you act as his disciples and his ambassador. So I learn from you, and so my faith grows. Dear brothers and sisters, the God of peace and love be with you all. Amen.
Is everybody hearing me?
Yes.
Yes? Good. When it's hard to know where to start when you're posed the question, what does Jesus mean to me? So many words spring to mind. Lord, Saviour, Rock, Friend, Redeemer, the one who chose to lay down his life for me, the one who keeps his promises, the one who has dwelt in my heart for nearly 40 years now. When I was 6 years old, my father was killed in a plane crash, and my life changed drastically. When I was 12 years old, my two remaining grandparents, who lived close to us, died together in a gassing accident in their home. These events had a profound effect on me. Though I don't think I ever articulated it, I did dread what might become of me if anything happened to my mother. I would get very anxious if she didn't come home when expected. My sense of insecurity never really left me, even after I left home and got married. It was probably a factor in the postnatal depression that I suffered after Colin, my first child, was born. I had a horror of what the future might hold if anything happened to my husband, now that there was a child to look after. What Jesus means to me is my security. As Peter often tells us, in Christ, we have nothing to fear. Whatever life throws at me, I know I am anchored in the rock that cannot move. It has been said to me that Christianity seems pretty similar to some of the other world religions in its emphasis on doing unto others what we would have them do unto us, and in taking care of the poor, the marginalised, and the oppressed. But it's the promise of a personal relationship with Jesus that sets our faith apart from the others, and it is for me the essence of my faith. I am loved with a love that is not dependent on anything I do. a love without strings attached, simply a gift of pure grace that I don't in any way deserve. To my shame, I often let Jesus down, acting selfishly or saying sharp words without thinking. After one such incident, I was feeling wretched and asked the Lord, "Why do you bother with me?" And the answer came clearly, "Because I made you." I realized that Jesus is committed to me as I'm a creation of his. I'm a new creation since the moment I said yes to his call, "Come, follow me," all those years ago. This decision of mine led to his Spirit taking up residence in my heart by a mysterious process I can't begin to understand, but which I know is real. His Spirit is in the business of gradually transforming me from the inside out, growing the fruit of love, joy, patience, goodness, and all the rest of the lovely characteristics that we witness in Jesus. My part in all of this is to be willing to be moulded and shaped. But alas, I'm not always very cooperative in this project of transformation. So often I want things done my way and not his way. But Jesus is, as the author of Hebrews put it, the author and perfecter of my faith, and he gently perseveres with me. All of life's experiences play a part in this. No experience is wasted in the divine economy. There are opportunities to grow in faith and put my trust in him every day. But do I always take them? I'm often reluctant and need some persuading, and I'll give you a recent example. Peter asked me on Wednesday if I would speak here this morning. My immediate thoughts were, "Oh, no, Lord, I don't really want to speak to the congregation on Sunday. You know, I get so nervous beforehand, and besides, it's Easter approaching, there's so much to do." But I'm here, and I'm glad to be here, because in many little ways over the last few days, he's made it very clear to me that this is where I'm meant to be right at this moment. I prayed for the words to speak to you, and I've prayed that someone here may be helped by perhaps something that I say and realize that Jesus' love is for them too, that he's never more than a prayer away, and that he is our security in a world that can often seem very frightening. Some of you know that I volunteer each summer at Scripture Union camps, helping in the cooking team. Last year at camp, I was asked to say a couple of sentences to the young people about my faith in Jesus. And what I said was that I particularly liked the promise that he made to his followers, saying, "I will never leave you or forsake you." I told them that I had been in some very sad situations and also in some very scary ones, but through them all had known that I was not alone, but that Jesus was there going through them with me and responding to my often desperate prayers. Two boys came afterwards and asked me to tell them about my scary situations that I'd been in. I told them of the time a few years ago when I was lost in Malaga, in the south of Spain, on my own, in the dark, driving on the right in an unfamiliar hired car, having taken a wrong turn off the motorway. But I'm not going to recount that story just now. Instead, I'll tell you about something that happened more recently, when I got lost in Livingston. Lost in Livingston has a better ring to it, though rather less exotic location. Again, it was dark, but I was driving on the left in my own car, and I knew the way to St. John's Hospital, where my friend was very ill. I was in plenty time to get there, and with the things that she'd wanted and was needing before the visiting hour ended at 8 p.m. Unfortunately, inexplicably, I took a wrong turning to the left just as I was nearing the hospital, and I found myself suddenly on the dual carriageway heading back to the M8. For the next 20 or so minutes, I drove round and round Livingston, looking in vain for another hospital sign or even a human being I could ask. The shops were shut. There was no one around. I got increasingly desperate as the minutes ticked by. You'll gather the car doesn't have a sat nav. Should I phone home and ask my husband, see if he could work out where I was? No, that would take far too long, and I didn't want to alarm him. Finally, I stopped at the side of the road and did what I should have done 20 minutes previously. Prayed a heartfelt prayer for help. And in less than a minute after I restarted the engine, I turned a corner, and there was a petrol station, open for business. I rushed in and blurted out my predicament. The man at the desk was very kind. Probably realising I was not in a state to remember verbal directions, he wrote them down on a scrap of paper. He would have had no idea that he was the answer to my prayer. I probably should have told him, but I still have that scrap of paper. It's on the reverse of a checkout receipt from Shell Garage at Lizzie Bryce's roundabout. The paper which got me to the hospital just in time. Now, I'm going to close with the words of a song which we sometimes sing here. It encapsulates some of what I've been trying to express. It's really a prayer, and it goes, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you.
Thank you for telling us parts of your stories. I know it's never easy standing up in front of people and speaking, especially about something that is often incredibly, intensely personal. I was telling the growth group I belong to that my first spoken words in a church were the words of my first sermon. I found it such a mixed bag of powerful emotions that I wondered afterwards if either God has a really weird sense of humor or I was just barking up the wrong tree. But what compelled me was and is my love for Jesus and the life that I'm able to share with him. And this is one of the reasons why I love Easter Sunday, because Jesus shares his life and his love with us. And the fact that he's been raised to life in our lives and in our hearts means that we get to participate, or are called to participate, in all that Jesus is and in all that Jesus does. As I said on Friday night, what Jesus leads us into is the ability to lead authentic lives. Lives marked by grace and goodness. Lives marked by love. Lives free, as Heather said, from any form of fear. I believe it's a mind-blowing privilege to follow Christ and be a part of Christ's body. I want to say one more thing, and it's about Heather. When I first came to be interviewed at New Haven, we met down at the Sports Center at David Lloyd. And I walked into this room, and there was this circle of, a semicircle of elders all staring at me. And there was one sitting in the middle, and because the person was sitting in the middle, I thought, that's got to be the session clerk. And it was Ray Bain. I only found out later that the session clerk was actually Heather, and she was sitting to the side, not the center of attention. And I don't know whether that was planned or that just happened, but it struck me and said something about the kind of person that Heather is. And I've grown to know that she is indeed a humble soul. So, thank you, Heather, and thank you, Eve.